Good morning, everybody. In your bulletins there, you have a handout there that will help you go through. It's just the scriptures, some of the scriptures that we'll be looking at this morning, and it will help you follow through. You're welcome and encouraged to turn in your Bibles to those particular places. But I put it together just to make it a little bit quicker for us to go through. We are in the book of Genesis this morning, continuing our study, and we'll be in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Kelly and Andre will be heading back to Romania this week as they continue to serve as missionaries there. And so I've asked Pastor Dan to come up and pray for them after the service is over today, and it'll just be a great opportunity for us to send them out. They're here a lot more this year because Andre's going through the process of becoming a U.S. citizen. So it's exciting for him. So we'll be praying for them as they leave for the next couple months. Genesis chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Let's read this. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. As we journey through the revelation of God's eternal purpose for mankind, as we've continued and looked in Genesis from the very beginning, we've come to Genesis chapter 12, and we find ourselves this morning turning a corner in the book of Genesis to a place where we find our attention fixed upon one man and one family, chosen by God specifically with the purpose of bringing redemption to God's people all across the face of the earth. We turn the corner and we find God calling Abraham to salvation. We find the very beginning of this everlasting covenant that God makes with Abraham and his descendants. Now, as we look at this morning, you may ask, why is this text important to me? We're looking at Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4. Why does this covenant matter to me? Why should I care that God spoke these specific words to Abram thousands and thousands of years ago? How is this promise of a blessing that God made to Abraham thousands of years ago important to each one of us? Jeff Lawler, who's a photographer. You go around Richard and Maria Long, who are pharmacists. You look in those that are in high school here today. Each person that's here, why is it that these words should matter to us thousands of years later? Well, the passage before us this morning contains some of the most precious words ever spoken by God in the history of this universe. Within this passage, we see the gracious character of the true and living God, and we see the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's try to examine as much as we possibly can this morning in this text and stir our hearts to worship and see why it is that this is a blessing to us. Now, the first thing that I want to look at is that God is here, and he says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram." We finished chapter 11 by looking at this genealogy of the lineage that had come from Shem. And it had gone all the way down until we got to Terah, who was the father of Abram. And so we see that as we shift, it says, "Now the Lord said to Abram." Why did God choose to speak to Abram? Why is it that he specifically picked him? Now look, and it wasn't because he was such a godly man. It wasn't that God was looking at all the people across the face of the earth and said, "Abram, now that's a guy that I want to go after." Rather, we see in Joshua 24, verse 2, that Abram and his family weren't a godly family. We see that it tells us here that Abraham's family was serving other gods. His father and the descendants that had come from him, they were serving other gods, and yet God goes to him and says, Abram. We see that Abraham's calling is, and I'll kind of go back and forth. Abram is his name, and God shifts and changes his name later on to Abraham. But for the sake of knowing what his name became, I'll frequently refer to him as Abraham throughout this service and sometimes refer to him as Abram. So we look, and with Abraham, we see that this calling to come to God was a calling that came from the same God who calls us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. The same God who calls us, as Scripture tells us, according to the good pleasure of his will. The exact same God that calls us to the praise of the glory of his grace, the Bible tells us, in which he purposed in himself. I think this is important because you look at each one of us here and we say, why us? You look at your background. Why is it that God has called each one of us to a salvation, to a true and living knowledge of God? I mean, we all have different backgrounds. Look, Jeff Paisano, God called him from this little town in Ridgecrest, that town that you drive through on your way to Mammoth or any place else that people like to go to. Ridgecrest, the gateway to Death Valley, is what they're known for. And God called him from that place, brought him here, and I was able to see the process of God just changing his heart and bringing him to salvation. Look, and some of you guys don't know this, but Brenda West from North Dakota, right? Brenda West, God called her from North Dakota. Here she is down here in Southern California, the only girl in her class up in North Dakota. That's why she's so tough, in case you're curious. But from the uttermost parts of this world, God has called, just kidding, Brenda, but look, from all over the place, God has called us. And then we start to look at our backgrounds. And we look and we say, any one of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we look and we say, I don't know why. It surely wasn't because he saw something good in me. Every one of us, if we're honest, we look and we say, I was a sinner. Not only was I a sinner, but like Paul, I was the chief of all sinners. And yet we see that God, he called us. Like Abram, it wasn't because he was so godly. Rather, he and his family were serving other gods. We see that it is solely a calling that is based on grace. Wonderful, amazing, unmerited grace. Nobody purchases a blessing from God, cannot buy an inheritance from God. The blessing that Abraham received from the Lord and our blessing for each one of us is according to the sovereign grace of a loving God. We look in the thought of God's calling of a man who had done nothing to merit or earn such favor. It stirs my heart to worship because God's calling of me and God's calling of you is due to nothing, absolutely nothing good in me, nothing good in you, but only the result of the good pleasure of a gracious God who purposes things before the foundations of the world. The grace of God. You're here, and you know God, and you have a relationship with him, and you've been called by him by his grace. And so we praise him as we just think about that this morning. The next thing that I see in this is that God initiates his covenant with Abram. He initiates it. It wasn't that Abraham was going and about all the things that he was doing and saying, okay, I need to approach God and try to make a deal with him of some sort. Things aren't going well where I'm at, and I'm going to initiate something with them. Rather, you see that God initiates this. Abraham wasn't trying to do anything as far as pursuing God, or trying to find a way to get a blessing. Rather, all the blessings that Abraham has, and all the blessings for each one of us, it's all there initiated by our gracious Lord. Romans 10:20 tells us, but Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me, God says, and I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. The third thing that I want to look at in this text this morning is that God calls Abraham to live by faith. You look at verse 1, it says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. God's calling for Abraham is to do something that's unexpected, something that wouldn't make a lot of sense to him. He was being called to move completely out of his comfort zone to a far and distant land, something that just doesn't make sense, especially in that particular day where you're looking and God's taking this man who would have come from a fairly prosperous family, has friends, has all of his family there, has land, has everything, speaks the language of these people, and God's saying, I want you to go. I want you to go to a far and distant land. Get out of your country, from your family, and your father's house. Go to a land that I'll show you. We see that in the New Testament, we get a commentary on this particular text. All in several passages, in the book of Hebrews, in the book of Galatians, we see it in the book of Romans. This commentary of what exactly is taking place. In Hebrews 11, verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he had received as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going, by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed. It wasn't that it made sense. And for us, this calling that we have even to come to salvation, for a lot of us, it's not something that we would choose to go towards. For any of us, it wouldn't be. Rather, that God showed us, go to this place that I'm calling you to go. Even in this life, as we make decisions, there's times that we do things and God calls us to something that doesn't make all that much sense. For Kelly Gammy, who is now a missionary, now she possesses Andre's last name, which is also Andre's. And so you look, and God called her to leave Mission Viejo. Her family was here. She was going through school. She was here with her friends and surroundings that she's comfortable with. And God called her to go to Romania. Not only Romania, but Petrișan, Romania. This little village that's there, this area called Colonia, that is an area that's just filled primarily with coal miners. And God called her to go, to leave her family, to leave everything that is comfortable to her, to go to this place to minister to the kids, to the people at the church there, to go in and to be a light in that particular place. It wasn't something, I'm sure, for her parents who was just like, well, this makes sense. I mean, obviously, this is where we thought our daughter was to go. Rather, they raised her in such a way to love God with all of her heart, with all of her soul, with all of her mind, with all of her strength. And as a result of that, you see that she went to where God had called her to go. Happened to meet her husband there. And it's just incredible as you see the work that's taking place there in God's calling. With Abram, God's calling him to do something that's unexpected that wouldn't make a lot of sense. Turn in your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 4, or you can look at the handout that's there. But we see that not only was he leaving according to faith, but everything that Abram did in relationship to God was the result of faith. Romans 4 tells us about this. If you look at Romans 4, verse 2. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. I'll stop in there for a second. We look and it gives us a commentary on Abraham. His relationship with God, it wasn't a relationship that was based on works. It wasn't that he did all of the right things, therefore it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Rather, he believed God. He trusted God. There was faith that was there, and the justification that comes is by faith alone. God tells us here that it's not to him who works. To him who works, it's debt that's given. Rather, with Abraham, it was all a faith. Look at verse 5 with me again. It says, "But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness." We look in justification by faith alone, being forgiven, being made right with God by faith alone is here in Genesis chapter 12. Same salvation that we have. A salvation that's not based on how much good deeds we do, how many we do, or how great of a life we live. Rather, a salvation that is based on trusting in the work of Christ and the work that Christ did on the cross alone for our salvation. Look at verse 9 with me of Romans chapter 4. And it'd be great for you just to go through this entire chapter because it gives us so much information here. But it says here, "Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised." The faith that Abraham had, it wasn't after he was commanded to be circumcised. It wasn't based on any kind of good works. Paul makes this very clear. The Holy Spirit inspires these words so that we know that Abraham was justified prior to having done anything good. Abraham was justified because God changed his heart. God called him. This calling that Abraham has, as we find him in Genesis chapter 12, was that which regenerated him and changed him. It made it so that no longer was he going after other gods or going in that direction like the rest of his family. Rather, he was there to serve the true and living God. But it wasn't based on his circumcision. It wasn't based on anything good that he ever did. God tells us that he was justified prior to that, prior to any of his good works. In verse 20, it says, "He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness." He trusted in the promises of God. He trusted and was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to perform. And he gave the glory to God. God has also called us to live by such a faith. A covenant that God has made with us, like he made with Abram, that leaves no place for boasting at all. Rather, he believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. We see that our faith is exclusively that which is faith in the redeeming work of Christ on the cross. Christ's precious blood shed as a ransom for our sins. And through faith in Christ alone, it is accounted unto us for righteousness. And like him, we're also fully convinced that God is able to do what he's promised. He's able to perform. The next thing I want to look at is, as we look at verse 2 of Genesis chapter 12, it says, "I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. And I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." Why would Abraham be a blessing? I mean, God specifically says, "I'll make you a great nation, I'll bless you, I'll make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." Well, that brings us to our fourth point, and that is that the Messiah would come from Abraham. The reason why he is going to be a blessing is that the Messiah is going to come from him. In Galatians 3:16, it says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were promises made. He does not say, 'and to seeds,' as of many, but as of one, saying, 'and to your seed, who is Christ.'" This promise that was given to Abraham was looking at specifically a promise of Christ would come from you. And we see that there's this lineage that continues on Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and this godly remnant that continues on until we get to the point where Christ came from that lineage. Mary, as she's there, is one who speaks specifically as far as this is the result of the promise that came from Abraham. The promise that was given to Abraham. And so we see that he is going to be a blessing. He is going to be a blessing. God says, I'm calling you out of your country, away from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I'll show you. I'm going to make you a great nation, but specifically, you are going to be a blessing. And he is. The fact that we look back to Abraham and the Messiah came through him, he's a blessing. Not only that, but the fifth point is we see the faithfulness of God. He says, I will make you a great nation. Now this is something where in Genesis chapter 11, it says, and Sarai was barren. She had no ability to have children. And we look, and God says to him, I am going to make you a great nation. From your descendants, you are going to have a great nation. And you look, and it seems impossible. I mean, how could this happen? And yet, we see the faithfulness of God. When Sarah was far beyond the years of childbearing, and Abraham was almost 100 years old, God was faithful to his promise, and he gave him Isaac. And we look, and from there, the nation of Israel was formed. Jacob came next. And the nation of Israel to where it continues to this day. None of that, but Israel's a great nation. You look at this tiny little nation that's there. In the midst of countries that hate them. This tiny little nation that's there, and they are a great nation. You look, and their military is probably one of the most just powerful militaries in all the world. When I was there, you'd see them wearing shirts that had like their fighter jets on it, and it would say next to the fighter jet, you know, like, visit Israel before Israel visits you. And you look, and I mean, they are tough. You look, everybody that's there, all the boys, all the girls, all the men, all the women, everybody serves in the military there. Everybody does. You look, and it's just this country that's in the midst of all these other countries, and yet incredibly Western, incredibly civilized. You look, and the people are highly educated there. The amount of money that goes through Israel is unbelievable. The agriculture that they have, not that, but all the things that they produce, it is a great nation to this day. A great nation, even though they've experienced incredible difficulties. And if you look at the Holocaust, and you look at everything else in their history, nevertheless, God made a great nation out of Abraham's descendants. Not only that, but our sixth point, God says here to Abraham, and I will bless you. And you look at this, and here is God calling him. God initiating him. It's unmerited. It's not because of anything good that he's ever done. And then God says to Abram, I am going to bless you. What does this mean? Well, let's look for a moment at Genesis chapter 17, verse 6. It's a continuation of this covenant that God's making with Abraham. And he says here in verse 6 of Genesis 17, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. And I'll make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I'll establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. That is the most important aspect of this blessing that comes to Abraham, where he says, I'm going to make an everlasting covenant with you to be God to you and your descendants after you. To be God to you. That is the heart of the blessing. I will be God to you. Why is this important? Why is it important that he says, I will be God to you? Why is that the heart of the blessing? Well, having the creator of the universe as our God is all that matters. They were all going after false gods, all the gods of the world, all the gods of the pagans, and God says, no, I will be God to you. He's our God. He is our reason for existence. He's our hope. He's our joy. He's our salvation. He's revealed himself in such a way that we can know him. He's the fountain of living waters that makes us never thirst again. He's the bread of life. He is all that could ever satisfy. He's our Father. He's our friend. He loves us with an unconditional love. He pours streams of mercy upon us. He alone possesses all the grace that any of us could ever enjoy for all eternity. We look and we see that we're blessed as him being our God, as the Holy Spirit regenerates us and sanctifies us and comforts us and seals us into the day of redemption. Galatians 3:14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The Holy Spirit and every blessing that comes with it is the result of him saying, and I will be God to you. The fact that you are here is a result of God saying, I will be God to you, Abram, and to your descendants after you. It'll be an everlasting possession, an everlasting covenant that I am making with you where you will forever be my people and I will be your God. It's incredibly important to us. Look at Jeremiah chapter 32. God reveals to Jeremiah the greatness of this promise, and he says here, they shall be my people, verse 38, and I will be their God. Then I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever for the good of them and their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they do not depart from me. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. That is the gist of this incredible promise that God gives to us. When he says, I will bless you and I will bless your descendants, this is the gist of it, where he says, I'll be your God. You'll be my people. I'll give you one heart and one way that you might fear me forever. There is reverence and awe and godly fear within every believer who is here this morning because God did it. You look and you say, why is it that I love him and I revere him and I honor him and I fear him and I want to do right and I want to please him and I want to trust solely in the promise of the gospel? Why is it that we're there and it says, because God says, I'll be your God and you'll be my people. And I'm going to bless you and make it so that you will fear me forever. For the good of them and their children after them. An everlasting covenant. Look at those words there. It says that I will not turn away from doing them good. That's what God was saying to Abram here in Genesis chapter 12 when he says, I will bless you. That translates in Jeremiah 32 as to, I will never ever turn away from doing you good. How significant is that for us this morning? When you look at this promise given to Abram and to his descendants, and we look and we say, and we would be his descendants, and God says, I will never turn away from doing good to you. Never will the day come where I say, it would be too good. I would like to give you this in heaven, but it would be too good. You would be spoiled. It'd be too much. I would like to give you everything, but not able to. You don't find that in Scripture. Rather, he says, if I gave you my own son, how much more will I also freely give you all things? This blessing that God promised to Abraham means that for each one of us here, God does not ever turn away from doing good to us. Not only that, but you look and even the bad things that happen to us in this life, God says, I will work them together for good. I'll mold you and I'll conform you into my image. We see a God who does not ever turn away from doing good to them. If we sit there and just start thinking about that, it will cause us to just overflow with praise to him. As you trust in a good and sovereign and all-powerful God that will says, I will never stop doing good to you. Not only that, but I'll put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. It's a part of this blessing. I mean, how great would the blessing be if I'm going to do all these good things and I'll never turn away from doing good to you, but hopefully you hold up your end of the bargain or else I will turn away from doing good to you. Rather, God says, I'm making this covenant with you and your descendants after you to where I'll put my fear in your heart so that you will not depart from me. It will not happen. You will not depart from me. There's this eternal security that is here for us as believers where God says, I'm making this covenant to where you will never turn away and depart from me. It won't happen. Now you look and you say, well, hold on a second. I know people that did. I know people that went to church and they had a relationship with God and they prayed and they worshiped and they did all of these things, but then they departed and they left. Scripture tells us that they went out from us because they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have remained with us, but they went out to make manifest that they were never of us. You see in Scripture where God says to those, depart from me, I never knew you. You see in Scripture where God's very clear that if someone departs and he doesn't leave the 99 and go get the one that went astray, it makes evident that they were never of us. They put on a good show. They tasted of the same things. They went and they raised their hands and they worshiped and they prayed and they read. But God says, they were never of us. Depart from me. I never knew you. It wasn't depart from me. I knew you. But somehow, you know, like you escaped the blessing that I placed upon Abraham and his descendants. Not at all. This covenant that goes to Abraham is, I will put my fear in their hearts so they will not depart from me. Yes, God says, I will rejoice over them to do them good. I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. What an amazing God who speaks like that. This blessing that he gives to Abram and to his descendants, he says, with all of my heart and with all of my soul, I will rejoice in doing good to you. You think of Almighty God, creator of this universe, saying, with all of my heart and with all of my soul, I'll do this. And we know from that it is as good as it could possibly be. The last thing I want to look at is number 7. We are children of Abraham. The last thing that it says, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. It's a part of this covenant where God says, Abram, from you, from this covenant I'm making with you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And then we go right back to the New Testament commentary on this. Look at verse 7 of Galatians chapter 3. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. In the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. That is the gospel. Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write, God preached the gospel beforehand. When? Genesis chapter 12. God preached the gospel beforehand, saying, in you, Abraham, all the nations shall be blessed. In Galatians 3:14, it says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And then lastly, in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Do you remember that song that we used to sing when we were kids? At least some of you that grew up in the church. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's go marching on. Right arm, left arm, right leg, left leg. Nod your head, turn around, sit down. You know that song? I didn't like that song that much as I grew older, because it just took a long time to go through it. But I remember being a little kid just liking the song a lot, but really not knowing what it meant all that much. And yet what you find here is that we are children of Abraham. This promise that was given to him and to his descendants, you maybe have looked at and thought, well, I'm not Jewish. I'm a Gentile. I'm Japanese or Chinese or from Africa or from Romania or I'm from American Indian or whatever it is. How does this affect me? And what we see is that God says, if you're Christ, if you belong to him, if you've trusted in the gospel, if you've been saved by faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, if you sit here this morning and say, my hope for salvation, my hope for spending eternity with him is not based on anything good that I've ever done, but solely based on the work of Christ on the cross. He took all of my sins upon himself, and he placed all of his righteousness upon my account. He finished the work when he was on the cross. He did it. And you sit there, and that is your hope for salvation. You look, and all of your hope is in the blood of Christ and what he did for you on the cross. You are children of Abraham. And all of the blessings that came upon him are also upon your account. And it gives us reasons to rejoice this morning. Reasons to praise him. We're heirs according to the promise that was given in Genesis chapter 12. And we look thousands and thousands and thousands of years later, and we say the promise that came from a faithful God who called a very unfaithful man, the promise that came is such that I'm a recipient of it. That covenant, I've been grafted into it to where he will never turn away from doing good to me. What an awesome God that we serve. Think of your background. Think of where God called you out from. And realize that he will put his fear in your heart so that you will not depart from him. Will you pray with me? Lord God, we are your people. You are our God, and we are your people. We are children of Abraham, his descendants, because of your grace, because of your mercy. How substantial it is to think that you are our God, that you're here in our midst and we could praise you and exalt you and worship you with every single thing that's inside of us because we know you. And you've called us by name and you've changed our hearts and you have secured us into the day of redemption by your grace. Thank you for the promise that you made to Abram, who didn't deserve it at all. And thank you for continuing that promise to each one of us here this morning as we have faith in the work of Christ on the cross. Lord, I pray that as your saints worship you this morning, that it would be worship that is a result of us who have been able to see your grace and your greatness. And then that we just respond properly. We ask these things in Jesus' name, amen.